Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My mic sounds nice.
My mic sounds nice.
let's include all the... Hello, the internet, and welcome to this Week Trend episode. Weekend Trends. Weekend Trends. It's Weekend Trends on the Zeitgeist. Woo! My mic sounds nice.
My mic sounds nice.
My mic sounds nice. That's super producer Brian Jeffrey.
Hello, I am here. How's everybody doing?
He is here. I'm here. We are here together. It's going to be the last Weekend Trending episode of the year of 2022.
Damn. 20 what? Man. What year is it, Jack?
2023. I've been looking through. We're going to do some best of episodes over the break for people to listen to in addition to our evergreen ones. And so I've been looking back over the past couple years of episodes. I don't know. That's not an excuse. I've been only looking at 2023 episodes, and for some reason that made me say 2022. I'm Jack. That is super producer Brian. Miles is away on assignment. Just getting a little relaxation. That's his assignment. And that's going to be all of our assignments in three short days. But for now, we are still here. We are here to tell you what is trending this weekend. But first, we like to tell you a little bit about ourselves and what we think by telling you something we think is underrated and overrated. So, Brian, do you want to kick us off with something you think is underrated?
Underrated? I'm going to go very, very literal. That new Obama movie, Leave the World Behind, is getting review bombed on Metacritic.
Love the Obama movie. I love calling it the Obama movie. He's all up. I mean, you know, I'm not going to call him an auteur, but his fingerprints are all over that some bitch, man.
I keep calling it the Obama movie because I didn't plan on watching this movie, right? I was just passing through the living room and my partner was putting the movie on and she was like, Obama?
Thanks a lot, Obama.
And I was like, huh? Obama made another movie?
Yeah.
And I sat down and I watched it. I knew nothing about it. And I found it perfectly enjoyable.
Perfectly diverting.
And you know, good performances, and you know, it
very good performances,
some familiar faces, and yeah, I was unaware of this movie's existence, and you know, it was like a pleasant little small surprise that it wasn't awful.
Yeah,
and didn't waste my time.
The effects are really cool. It's like, it's definitely, I don't know. It's kind of appropriate to me that it is an Obama. So you're saying it's getting review bombed because it's
Simply because it's produced by the Obamas.
It's just one of the movies that they threw their weight behind as part of their Netflix production deal, basically.
And I have to assume it's based off of some book that he likes or some shit. I don't even know.
I didn't look into it. I think that's right.
I know he likes books from his reading list. I know he likes books.
Yeah, guy's a fucking dork. Yep. I think it's my favorite trailer of the year. The trailer with the LCD sound system "Oh Baby" song over it is a blast. I then was so overcome by the trailer that I went and saw it in theaters. And then I won't dig too much into spoilers. Love the trailer, didn't love the film quite as much. But I highly recommend checking out the trailer. If it speaks to you, check out the movie. It is the number one trending movie on Netflix, and that I think means it's probably been viewed more times than most films that came out this year.
I remember what the other thing that caught my attention was that it starts with like a banger song. I don't know who does the song, but it starts with like hip hop music, like just blaring. And I'm like, the fuck are you watching? And then throughout the film, number one, this score sounds like it sounds like some Columbo type shit. There's these weird little piano chords that when somebody says something and something spooky happens, there's like a ring, like a piano chord, which was tickling me. And the music was like, they were playing that one song by Next about getting a boner while dancing.
And they
like,
do.
I like the music. There was a lot to like, I'd say.
Yeah, a lot to like. The very like intentional off-putting music cues seems to be a thing that's happening. Like if you've seen May December, there's like some piano music that is like really strange and draws attention to itself. And yeah, I feel like there's a lot of like little music cues in this that draw attention to themselves. My underrated, Brian, is the psychological complexity of the Home Alone films. I watched the Home Alone films over the weekend with my children.
Now, which ones did you watch? Did you watch
just the Mac ones?
Okay.
Yeah, just the ones from that I had seen as a child and had not looked at since. And viewing it as a parent, this seems to be a film about an attempted very late stage abortion. Is what I'm taking from it. Like, so I have, you know, I've talked before about like my theory, like we have like different people, different personalities inside of us. And like, sometimes they're acting without the conscious self being aware. So when someone is like, I keep sabotaging myself, I think that's literally what is happening oftentimes. Like there's a part of you that doesn't want the career and it's like sabotaging that career, or like there's part of you that doesn't want that relationship, and so that part of you is actually like working outside of your conscious mind to, you know, get you out of that relationship by sabotaging it. Anyways, this is what I think is happening with Kevin's mom in Home Alone and Home Alone 2. And I don't think I think this is all kind of what the filmmakers intended. Like, I don't think they would necessarily call it a movie about an attempted very late stage abortion, but like so Catherine O'Hara, the mom, like there's a conscious part of her that knows she's supposed to be a loving mother and like gestures towards that. But I think there's another part of her deeper down where like language doesn't reach that comes through in her eyes when she looks at Kevin that truly wishes he wasn't around. You see it when she sends him to bed without dinner after he literally spills milk at dinner in the first movie, in like the first 10 minutes of the first movie, and is sent to bed in the attic without dinner. And the first thing that I noticed about the scene was that Catherine O'Hara is like looking at him with the deadest eyes. And I'm like, she's a good actor. That's like, why is she? And she's saying wild shit and while sending this kid to bed without eating. The next part I noticed is that she doesn't realize He's not with them in the airport.
Which they're is carrying, always insane to me.
They're carrying Fuller, who's the other kid who's around his age, which is what you do when you're in a hurry at the airport. You pick up anything under the age of 10 and you are carrying that shit because they are going to get lost otherwise. That's the first thing you see as a parent. Like, traveling with kids is hell for a reason. They are not for 1 second out of your thoughts.
You'd be tiny and distractible.
Yeah. Like I carry my kid on my shoulder, like when I'm running late. Like I just like throw him over like he's a sack of potatoes. But the real thing that I think everyone remembers that kind of proves my point is the scene where she leaps forward and goes, "Kevin!" Because so there's part of her that knows she left the kid behind. Like that, she
like the whole time. She's fully there's part of her that's fully aware.
There's part of her that's fully aware that's trying to get through to the conscious part of her mind, but not until they're off the ground. It's not getting through until they're off the ground. She doesn't have to look in the back. Like she's not like, oh wait, no, there's no way we left Kevin. Like
also,
go back.
It's only her.
Yeah.
She's the only one.
Yeah. Right. Because, well, I think that there is, like, the dad is among the dumbest dad characters we've ever seen outside of, like, a fucking beer commercial or, like, a, I guess not beer, like, a hardware commercial or something. Like, dads are dumb.
Yeah, he's
commercials
definitely commercial dumb, yeah.
He's commercial dad dumb.
Yeah.
And so she realizes it. She's like, oh, my God. We left him without checking in the back because the kids are sitting in coach and the parents are sitting in first class. Something that she's like, oh my God, don't you feel like a heel kind of that we're sitting in first class and the kids are in coach? So they're just bad people. But once the jig is up and her conscious mind is now aware that she left Kevin, she makes like one call to the cops. She makes a call to the cops. The cops like send her to family services appropriately. They're like, well, there's clearly something going on here. Then she's like sent back to the cops. They send one cop by to do a wellness check on him and are like, there's nobody here. So my brain before was distracted by those are the worst cops in the world, but she's just like, okay with that. She doesn't like keep harassing. She's not on the phone continuously with the local police. I feel like she's just checking off the boxes of what a loving mother would do so that like she can continue to tell herself she does not want this kid dead. But that's, I think, ultimately what she wants until she gets home and sees that he's kept the house neat. At which point she's like, okay, you're acceptable. Because like, yeah, she clearly has big problems with like messiness. And when he spilled that thing, she was like, no, fuck this. And then the fact that it happens again in a second movie, at a certain point, you're trying to kill this kid. But again, when she realizes it, she just faints straight away. Like there's the scene, probably less iconic, but where they're at the baggage claim and she's like, here, give this bag to Kevin. It goes down the thing. And then they're like, Kevin's not here. And the second she hears the phrase, Kevin's not here, she just screams Kevin and then faints dead away. So again, she knows that they've left him or lost him in the second one. There is part of her that is consciously doing this. It's not a coincidence that it happens twice. This is a movie about a very conflicted mother who does not like her son taking matters into her own hands is my theory.
Interesting. I was not that long ago. I was watching a group of movies because I was trying to find the worst movie mother.
Yeah.
But I totally forgot about Home Alone.
Really not great parenting. The other loose theory that I think you could probably also make the case for is that she does it all consciously and it is just checking off the boxes, just trying to make it so that it seems like, you know, she actually gives a shit. But
just
she's
full sociopath.
Full sociopathic, like, oh, Kevin's not here, and we actually don't need to. Granted, this is putting all the pressure on her and not the dad, but as we mentioned, the dad is commercial dumb, so you can't... you just have to assume all the weight is on her shoulders, which isn't fair, and maybe a reason why she's trying to off one of these little fuckers. So, just my read on the Home Alone franchise. Also, just an incredible amount of hyper-violence in both movies. The second one in particular is like, it's wild because in the second one, he catches them at a, like, toy store. They're robbing a toy store. Everything about, like, storytelling and, like, who the target demographic is for this movie suggests, oh, he's going to use toys to trap them and, like, torture them. And
nope.
Instead, he, like, lures them to a kill house and repeatedly kills them. Like, repeatedly does things that would murder any living organism. Like, a brick from, like, four stories up thrown straight into the forehead.
All of these stunts individually would kill a man.
Yes.
Easily. And it just keeps... it keeps going.
Yeah.
It's something.
It's wild. I'm really curious if anybody knows the backstory to Home Alone 2. If there was like a last minute rewrite by the guy who would go on to direct Saw or something. Because everything is leading up to that moment is like, yeah, he's just gonna like use Nerf guns to like trap and trick these guys. And
I love the idea that Kevin, like, McAllister is actually the Saw Man when he grows up to be that guy.
I think there is a theory online, a loose theory, that he is like Jigsaw as a child.
Man.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm very curious how that came about. How the Home Alone 2 Kill House came about. Like, why they weren't just like, yeah, no, it would be funny if he like used toys, because that was what he did in the first one. He used toys like as weapons against these guys, and they were like, we gotta up it, man. We gotta like take the violence to like at least the level of the Equalizer, you know? Like, it's like it is really like he just takes them into an abandoned house like a murderer and then uses just industrial strength weapons to murder them repeatedly.
I wonder if you could change the entire tone of the film by just changing the score to make it feel more appropriate.
Yeah. And then just adding like some blood sprays here and there, yeah, with CGI.
Some spooky piano stingers.
Well, that actually leads into my overrated, which is the high-pitched choral thing that I don't know. I just noticed it's the second verse of Nat King Cole's Silent Night, which is in heavy rotation around this time of year. It goes from Nat King Cole singing Silent Night, which, you know, great, one of the great voices, you know, seems like it was built to sing Silent Night. And then the second verse is like all of these high-pitched choral, like, like just overlapping. It's also in a lot of early Disney movies. So I think it was a thing that people had seen live before recorded music and were like, this shit goes. Like, this is a transfixing, transformative experience. And then they just tried to like put it everywhere. And it's also, I think it's the sound that you hear when like in 2001, The Space Odyssey, where they see the big black obelisk, or is that what that thing's called? The big black domino
thing.
Monolith. And yeah, so it just has like creepy connotations now. So, I mean, I guess nobody's really using it anymore for any reason other than to creep people out, but it's really a bad one.
Yeah, it's firmly in the realm of cliche.
Yeah,
almost to the point where it's like it's reserved for like comedy bits.
Yeah, I think so. it's
it's just shorthand for spooky now.
Yeah. And it just feels like, I think this is a thing that happens still, is people underestimate the difference between like music that sounds good live and is fun to see, and then like recorded music. We're still like, we're working with that gap somehow. And so I don't know, that this feels like the original sin of that, where they're like, yeah, we all love being in church and hearing the, like, a really good chorus, just nail it. So here's that experience, and then it just sounds like shit. It just sounds creepy and screechy. What's something you think is overrated, Brian?
All right, I'm gonna stick with films.
And I love films.
So I saw another movie this weekend, and this movie just pissed me right the way off.
Did it cheese you off?
Okay, so this film is called Soft and Quiet, and it is literally overrated. It's got an 87 on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got an 82 out of 100 on Metacritic, indicating universal acclaim. And here's a little snippet of a review. A painfully timely horror-fueled thriller. Soft and Quiet forces the viewer to confront the ugly underbelly of modern American race relations.
Damn.
And to that I say, no the fuck it doesn't. It really, really doesn't. This movie, I guess what's really overrated are films that nonsensical and silly, that take themselves really, really seriously. Because this movie was, I'm just going to say it was straight trash. It was
straight
It was not good. It was one of those movies where I saw the reviews, right? And I'm like, I don't watch trailers usually. And I see horror thriller. I'm like, okay, that's the vibe I'm looking for, horror thriller. And I knew race was an element.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie ended up being, are you familiar with mumblecore, Jack?
Yeah.
So it was being
the
a mumblecore
brothers.
Yeah, it ended up being a mumblecore nightmare with everybody talking over each other as they do in mumblecore movies. And I won't get into spoilers, but it goes from these Karens essentially meeting up for a racist get together that is very blunt and unsubtle, and like there's literally a pie with a swastika on it.
Wow.
And it's like, you didn't need to, that's a little too on the nose. And then it just gets stupider from there. Like, wow. And this is basically like The Sound of Freedom, but for racism. It's that bad.
Right. And gets racism wrong. And is,
yeah, it totally gets racism wrong.
The same
wrong
way that Sound of Freedom gets human trafficking wrong.
Yeah. It just, there are simpler, less stupid and embarrassing ways to depict racism in America than what they chose. It's really baffling. So, a literally overrated film, Soft and Quiet. Piece of shit.
There you go. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Talk about the news.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back.
We're back.
And there's a story coming out of Gaza that I feel like could get lost in the avalanche of devastating news, but I think is worth stopping and just acknowledging. So IDF snipers killed 3 innocent Israeli captives who had escaped and were trying to get rescued. And they came out with their arms raised, torsos bared, literally waving a white flag, and were summarily executed by the IDF. Only later was it revealed that they were innocent Israelis and not innocent Palestinians, at which point it became news. But this is like, acknowledge, this is being like reported on from like by The Sun, like the UK newspaper The Sun, not exactly a pro-Palestinian rag.
No, but,
it's just worth acknowledging that like this is what is going on. They seem to be out of the bombing everything to rubble phase in Gaza and have moved into the shooting everything that moves phase. And if 3 Israeli hostages waving a literal white flag can't like even be spoken to before they're killed, and Israeli hostages are the reason they're there, is supposedly
allegedly,
it's probably time
yes.
to ask what they're actually doing there and whether they should be there. But it's horrifying. This writer Moin Rabbani wrote, the incident confirms yet again that Israeli soldiers are authorized to shoot dead both surrendering combatants and civilians waving flags of surrender under current conditions in the Gaza Strip. And despite the Israeli military being fully aware it may encounter live Israeli captives, ostensibly a key reason for their presence there, it may additionally be the case that soldiers are being encouraged by their commanders to shoot anything that moves. So yeah, it's not great. It's pretty fucking horrifying. And like those are that's war crimes. That's you can't shoot people waving a white flag of surrender. That's
look, we're well past that, Jack.
Yeah.
Right. Like
yeah.
How bad of a war crime do you think someone would have to commit for people to start giving a shit about war crimes again?
They seem to be in search of an answer to that.
What are you like thinking, white phosphorus or the napalm? Like,
yeah,
because that goalpost keeps shifting. Of like,
yep. Biden saying Israel's, we want you out of there by Christmas, which doesn't seem likely at this point.
Also, seems kind of arbitrary. Why not now?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
why Christmas? Oh, so they can play soccer like in World War II.
Yeah, I think that's the hope. On the other side, wanted to do a quick check-in with Donald Trump's rhetoric over the weekend. He quoted Vladimir Putin and Viktor Orban in speeches saying that he's innocent of his crimes. He used the term hostages to describe people charged with violent crimes on January 6th. He just seems to be ramping up his rhetoric the week after everyone was like, man, this guy might be an authoritarian. He's just gone full like dictator. And yeah, they were like, he's ramping up that authoritarianism almost like he wants to be a dictator. And he responded with the Jack Nicholson like nodding and smiling crazily meme.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is a surprise to no one. It actually seems late. Like, he's been an authoritarian for a long time.
Yeah. Like, some of the stuff is, like, he's also using blatantly, like, white supremacist, eugenicist language around undocumented immigrants, claiming they are, quote, poisoning the blood of our country. But, like, in the past, he had just made that statement to hard-right conservative outlets, but this time he's like using it in his political speeches. And like the thing that people are grasping at for hope is also kind of depressing to me. Like, there is people were like, Nikki Haley's gaining on Trump in New Hampshire.
Hell yeah.
That just means she's at 29% to his 44%. In Iowa, it's 58-13. So I mean, I guess you got to start somewhere, but I also feel like the two factors are not unrelated. Like, Trump is saying this wild shit and getting more popular because, you know, his base is, you know, there are enough people who are racist, and there is, I think, a broad sense among people that there's just been years of ineffectual leadership where, like, the president is clearly not acting on behalf of people, but like instead on behalf of corporations. And so, you know, for a while now, there's been this unstated in the mainstream media hope that like someone's going to come through and step outside of that system. And like, I don't know, I feel like there are probably a lot of people who are like, yeah, let's go with an authoritarian at least.
Well, that's the interesting thing, because, okay, so with like your Joe Biden, they have shareholders, essentially. Like, there's a bunch of people in line ahead of the constituency that he has to appease, right?
Yeah.
So with an authoritarian, he's free to just throw that out the fucking window and do whatever he wants. Now, that doesn't, that might not be good for a lot of the constituency, but it's oddly closer, I want to say, because
in theory, seems like it could be closer.
Because he's not necessarily going to appease the shareholders first. He's going to appease his ego.
Right. Yeah, much better.
And that there might be a little more crossover with the people who are into what he's throwing down.
Yeah.
To, you know, get something out of it. I don't know what that something is, but they're getting something out of it.
And
I think that's something's white supremacy.
I think for white supremacists, this is, you know, the answer to a lot of like long held, you know, beliefs where they're like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Everyone's acting like whites aren't supreme. I think there's something that's very real there with people looking at, you know, Joe Biden trying to forgive student debt and like throwing his hands up and being like, it's out of my hands, guys, or like trying to pass like this progressive legislation that he promised and, you know, just repeatedly saying dumped. It's out of my hands. And
if anything good happens, it's like some weird little rider on some other shit that's not for us.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I just think it's being treated as like Trump is succeeding despite the authoritarian, like him saying these authoritarian things. And I think it's probably more accurate that he's succeeding at least partially because of that, which is fucking scary, a scary place for the country to be.
Makes perfect sense, though.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And Arlington National Cemetery will remove their Confederate memorial this week.
Hey, so it only took a couple hundred years.
That's right. It sits in Arlington National Cemetery, and it is set to be removed later this week, out by the end of the year, per a Department of Defense directive on renaming and or removing Confederate monuments. Republicans, of course, not happy about this, claiming the memorial should stay because, according to a letter signed by more than 40 House Republicans, it does not honor nor commemorate the Confederacy, this Confederate monument, but rather the memorial commemorates reconciliation and national unity. Uh-huh.
And who it is the statue of?
It's exactly. Of, I believe there are slaves involved in it. Even the Arlington National Cemetery website admits the sculpture includes a nostalgic, mythologized vision of the Confederacy with highly sanitized depictions of slavery. And among those calling for the statue's removal include the family of the original artist, who said in a statement that, quote, this statue intended to rewrite history to justify the Confederacy and the subsequent racist Jim Crow laws. It glorifies the fight to own human beings and, in its portrayal of African Americans, implies their collusion. So it seems like not a great statue that you'd think they would be removing by breaking it to pieces or like putting it in a mysterious warehouse next to the Ark of the Covenant. But actually, it's just moving to a different park. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin is going to move it to New Market Battlefield State Historical Park, where the DOD has no power. So,
one of my favorite battlefield parks.
It's a good one. The water slides are sick there.
Oh man.
All right. So there's this New York Post article that they just continue to try and sweatily dunk on young people. I think they're just like harvesting boomer rage clicks by being like, look at these helpless youngs.
Let's see who wrote this.
Yeah. I mean, somebody who's probably just knows what their editors want. But one of their articles that made the social media rounds this weekend blasted Gen Z's menu anxiety problem. Kids today are just, quote, too scared to order their own meals. Gen Z suffers from menu anxiety when dining out, with many too scared to order their own meals, is the tweet from the New York Post. So the science is there. I mean, this is based on a study conducted by a British pizza chain, which is where most of the science that we cite on this show is studies from various pizza chains, not always British, but because British pizza chains don't make pizza that anyone wants to eat, they have tons of time for research.
I was wondering, I was like, is that going to be any good?
Best pizza I had in the time that I spent living in Ireland, which I know is not Britain, but it was Pizza Hut, a Pizza Hut personal pan pizza. So,
ouch.
That's maybe it's changed. That was a long time ago, but
I hope so.
And also, the menu anxiety was reportedly triggered by the increasingly exorbitant cost of a meal out. Like, even the study says that. So, the headline makes it sound like anyone under 30 is just, irrationally afraid of an inanimate object, like the menu.
And, yeah, I hate the framing of this. Yeah. It's, it's clearly, you look at the author's page, and they clearly have some sort of mandate to work Gen Z into at least 30% of their headlines.
What else you got on there?
Well, there's one that says Gen Zers hate email, but so do the rest of us. What do we do now? And it's like, what the fuck? What does that have to do with anything? But
that's amazing. Yeah, but I mean that. It's just anxiety around how much it costs to eat out, which is very
understandable
and common to everyone. Hatred of email, everybody can identify with that. And also anxiety around decision making has always been a thing. Choice overload, choice fatigue has been studied for decades.
I've had many people in my life who eating out with a group of people, and that for some people that's pressure. Having everybody's ordering in a circle, and you gotta be ready when the person gets to you. And yeah, it stresses some people out just eating out, prices aside. So it's I can totally see how. Let me see. I mean, I don't really go out to the new places unless I check out the menu first. It's just what you do. I don't know. To me,
if Yelp didn't exist, I wouldn't know what to order. Ordering, that is a thing. Ordering at a restaurant is a skill, and some people have it, and some people use Yelp to cheat at it. And I am in the latter category. but in the same way that, they say that Chuck Close, the great portrait artist, had face blindness. But in having face blindness, he break the face down into its component parts and do an amazing job of painting a portrait. Hmm. Because I don't have the skill, I look at a menu and I don't see music. I see a bunch of choices of ways that this could go horribly wrong. And so I recognize in other people, this is a great skill that some people have, and I will just cheat off of their order. I'll be like, you order first, and then I'll be like, I'll have what he's having, because they are better at it than me.
Yeah, I work with archetypes. I'm very habitual, so it's if I go to a certain genre of restaurant, I already have an idea in my mind of what sort of thing I'm gonna get, whether or not I've been there before. I'm like, if I'm going to Italian, I like creamy sauces and salty meats and stuff like that.
Man, that's also what I like, but saying creamy sauces and salty meats just grosses me out for some reason. But yeah. What do you have? Do you ever verbalize it that way? What do you have that's creamy sauced and salty meated?
Only when I want to embarrass my partner.
Yeah, there you go. Are you having a salty meat, good sir?
I'll have your finest salty meat, please.
My wife does not like salty things, and so it has been called to my attention that I eat some salty ass meats. I eat some salty ass everything.
Just I love me some pancetta, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So good.
Get that cheddar. And by cheddar, I mean pancetta. finally, the Pope has okayed same-sex blessings with a massive asterisk. But he's formally approved same-sex blessings in a new document that also stresses that people shouldn't be subject to exhaustive moral analysis.
Which is weird coming from Catholicism, but
Catholicism
okay. Seems
to be like a eternal machine of exhaustive moral analysis.
It's I can't think of a better definition for Catholicism than that.
But this is the cool Pope. This is the come on, man, just love one another.
He's
Pope.
The cool Pope. He smokes dope.
That's right. Has this Pope smoked weed? Has he commented?
I'm sure
on
it'll
that?
Come out soon enough. But yeah. He'll be on Joe Rogan smoking a blunt.
Yeah. Guy like that. Come on. Just no way he's not getting high, not token up. But yeah, so seemingly a far cry from the Vatican's previous Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith.
Yeah, the CDF, yeah.
Yeah, of course, that we remember when that bomb dropped and we were all just eagerly reading. But that one stated the church can't bless the unions of two men or two women because God cannot bless sin.
Oh, okay.
Also, they say the same shit about like any couple that had premarital sex, you know. But the church is not the coolest, hippest of institutions. But so the new document follows up on a letter that Pope Francis published in October, which suggested that there could be ways to. There could be ways, and I've been talking to God, there might be some ways to bless same-sex unions.
Like, maybe if I do it with my eyes closed.
Maybe I do it with my eyes closed. I think he's
sorry
from
for the
South
Italian
America.
Accent.
Yeah.
Or whatever, wherever he's from. I don't know where he's from.
Is he Brazilian? Argentinian? I forget. He's from
I don't know why I assumed he was just Italian.
Just a couple tiny, massive caveats here. The document reaffirms the church's position that marriage is only between a man and a woman and stresses that any blessings conferred upon a same-sex couple can't be done at the same time as a civil union or using set rituals from a civil union or even with the clothing and gestures that belong in a wedding. So the church can now bless a gay couple, but they'd better not be dressed in formal wear is essentially the rules here.
So it's the church's version of civil union. They changed all the trappings, but you can still get it.
Yeah.
But it's just, we can't call it what it is.
Yeah. Right.
Because God will get mad.
Yeah.
And he'll send locusts.
He will send locusts and various poxes upon your house. The document also underscores that any, quote, irregular unions are in a state of sin, so these couples can still receive a blessing, which is like a nice wave from the Pope on their way to hell, according to the Catholic Church. Like, all right, well, that was nice.
He's like, all right, have a nice trip. See you next.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, so unclear where this all shakes out. I would say we'll continue to pay attention and try and like rank all the orders of importance of the blessing versus the statement that it's still a sin. But I have been advised against exhaustive moral analysis, so I think I'll just ignore the shit and continue to try and just be kind to people. Seems like maybe a way to go.
Yeah, but what are you getting out of it though?
That's right. I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to go back to the Catholic Church way because that way I can just like read up a lot on these, all these doctrines and then sound smart as hell and maybe find a way to tie in Taylor Swift to my condemnation of the modern world. All right, Brian, that's going to do it for us on this Monday, December 18th. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Where can people find you, follow you, any of that good stuff?
You can't find me. You can't find me.
Yeah, leave him alone. How about that?
And you can't fool me again.
Can't fool me again. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Can't get fooled again.
Yeah.
All right. Back tomorrow. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Yep. Get the vaccine. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.